You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
March the 25th, 2020. Congress gathering now to take a vote on this historic $2 trillion coronavirus relief bill. It got through the Senate early this morning. And they're in the process of finalizing everything. And then it goes back to the House. And Nancy Pelosi had been kind of, yeah, I don't know if I like it or not. It's not exactly my cup of tea at this point. But I think she's going to finally accept the fact, Nancy, if you don't sign off on this, maybe the word is getting to her. We're going to break this down, by the way, in the next segment about how her delay, foot dragging, obstinance, and attitude while the nation's battling a crisis is going to come back to haunt her and the Democrat Party severely. We'll get into that in a moment. But now we have a bipartisan breakthrough in the Senate. As the Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said early this morning, we have a deal. And even Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer said the bill amounts to, quote, unemployment compensation on steroids. He said many Americans who have been laid off will have their missed salary remunerated quickly. And it's going to provide money to help companies stay afloat and immediately bring back those employees. There's a lot in there that's going to help our nation. And that's at $2 trillion. But the cost is probably going to be more than that. The White House economic counselor, advisor I should say, Larry Kudlow said, you can expect it to end up being closer to $6 trillion. That would include another $4 trillion in asset purchases by the Federal Reserve, in addition to the $2 trillion in spending authorized by Congress. And, of course, all of this to rescue the economy. It is still going to be, as Kudlow said, the single largest Main Street assistance program in our nation's history. And, of course, scientists continue doing the best they can to get things solved and find out what's best, how best to treat coronavirus. They have identified something almost like 70 drugs and compounds that appear to be effective. And some are more effective, and they're doing various tests in New York State. They're doing them around the world, and it's all looking good. And yet one of the drugs that they've seemed to have most success with, the governor of Nevada has decided we're going to restrict the sale and prescription of that drug. What? This Nevada governor, a Democrat, issued an executive order prohibiting prescriptions of hydrochloric chloroquine, for some of the patients, because the president mentioned them during the briefing. And he said, they haven't been approved in our medical history advisory team, so we're not going to do it. Well, as I said earlier, I think this is not only making people sick, it's making people stupid. Such as the L.A. County Sheriff deciding to release 1,700 inmates. Why? Well, because we thought we would spread the disease. I mean, Freudian slip. No, that we prevent the spread of disease by letting 1,700 inmates out of jail. How the hell that's going to resolve the spread and curb it? I have no idea. I can't get an understanding either as to why his idea to shut down gun stores in his county would do anything. North Korea, of course, continues to insist, we don't have any. We have no coronavirus. But they still encourage social distancing. The Los Angeles mayor coming forward and threatening non-essential businesses if they do not obey the city's stay-at-home order. He will cut off their water and electricity. Now, that's a fascist approach. You don't shut your business, Well, would you shut off your water and electricity? See how you like that? Now, we'll tell you this. The Vatican has also decided we got to do something. And what they're doing, they decided to halt production of its daily newspaper, fearing it might help spread the virus. The FDA has said, and tests have shown apparently, that simply touching a package may or may not lead the virus, but I guess the Vatican's decided we have a higher knowledge than you, and so what we'll do is we'll just shut down. I don't want you to go around being afraid of everything you touch. Be aware, be careful, and wash your hands repeatedly. Please.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
COVID-19 is a new health concern, but Wellington Environmental has 30 years experience to make your company and environment safe. Wellington Environmental can give you peace of mind, and the cost is very reasonable. These days, you can't take a chance that customers, employees, your family would be exposed to COVID-19. You have to be proactive. That starts by calling Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. You'll quickly see why customers have relied on Wellington Environmental for decades. COVID-19 can survive for hours on your furniture, your computers, your equipment, and every time someone touches that surface, they could be exposed. You don't want that liability. Call Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest, best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Never would have hitchhiked to Birmingham if it hadn't been for love. Never would have called the train to Louisiana if it hadn't been for love. Never would have run through the blinding rain without $1 to my name if it hadn't been, if it hadn't been for love. Never would have seen the trouble that I'm in if it hadn't been for love.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Senator Mitch McConnell, early this morning, stood in front of the Senate and made a pronouncement that brought not applause, but sighs of relief.
Well, Madam President, I have an update for the information of all senators and for the information of the American people, and it's good news. It's good news for the doctors and nurses in emergency rooms around the country who are waiting for more masks and more funding. It's good news for families all across America. At last, we have a deal.
We have a deal in the Senate. And I've been watching as Congress is convening, should have started about an hour ago or less, beginning to come back together. The idea, of course, now is you take this package and you send it back to the House. Once the Senate finalizes, signs off on it. And then the option at that point is for Nancy Pelosi to say, we accept the bill from the Senate and we unanimously approve it. I'm not holding my breath. That's the way it should be done, to show we're getting past political divisiveness and we're doing what's needed for the American people right now instead of hammering it out a little bit longer. But I'm sure some of the Democrats thinking, what's another day or two? What difference does it make now anyway? That kind of refrain. Well, it's going to make a big difference, as far as I'm concerned, when it comes to the upcoming elections. And that's what I want to drive home at this point. We have this $2 trillion stimulus deal. It involves getting checks directly to individuals and obviously helping companies. The payments, let me give you a quick idea what it means for you directly. Single Americans, as it's renegotiated at this point, would get $1,200. Married couples get $2,400. Parents would get $500 for each child under age 17. I had seen that there'd be a cap of only $2,000 total for a family for children. I don't know if that's still in there or not. There's a lot to it I have not had a chance to get into and see. And they would be basing this upon your adjusted gross income if you had made less than $75,000 for an individual, $90,000 or $99,000 as a couple. 90% of Americans would be eligible to receive full or partial payments. But, of course, they're looking at the 2018 tax returns, not 2019, because they're not filed yet unless you decided to file early. And you do have additional time now to file. They're giving you another 3 months. So how fast you're going to get it, it's still up in the air. They had said that it could be really, really, really quick. They were talking about direct deposits into your bank accounts. So there's a lot of it still in play, and I wish I could give you a specific answer, but no one has it. Because partly we got to see what's the House going to do about it. Are they going to unanimously rubber stamp it and say, let's move forward? Are they going to begin to quibble again? Are they going to be trying to bring in the little things they want some extra money for, like ever environmental green things like, solar wind power and things of that nature all combined together that Nancy put together in her little package, including recreating the Obama free phone for everybody that doesn't have a phone? Yeah, they were putting all of that in. And here's why I want to bring that to the attention. Someone asked me the other day, flat out, what do we do to get rid of Nancy Pelosi? And I said, well, there's only one thing you can. No, not that option. Don't do that. The option is take the House out of the hands of the control of the Democrats this coming election. And the person said, well, she'd still be in the House if she's from California and still elected. I said, yep, she would be. But she would not be overseeing a House controlled by Democrats. So she could still be there making her noises, whatever she wants to do, grimacing, frowning, ripping up the president's speech, but she can't be standing behind him because she won't represent the House membership at that point. These midterm elections, we've always said, are important. A lot of folks don't get it, but they are. And now this next one is very important, not only for the presidential election, but for what we can do regarding Congress, the House. Republicans now control the Senate and, of course, the House. I mean, we have this White House. Democrats control the House. As Democrats control it, they get to decide who will be their leader. Now, Nancy almost did not get it this time around. She had to do a little kissy-kissy, fake huggy-huggy with the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez to try to make it appear that we're all in this together. And then she quickly turned her back on her, called about, well, I don't know, they just have a few little votes of those little squad of people, which AOC, I'm sure, is probably still fuming over that. But because the Democrats have the most membership in the House, they get to decide who gets on committees, who gets in control, and, of course, they select the member they want to represent them and stand behind the president during the State of the Union address. If Republicans control the House for this next time and President Trump wins, which I'm banking he will, and we maintain the Senate, which I'm banking we will have the president speaking and you will have Senate Majority Leader McConnell, if he's still the one standing behind him, or the Vice President, and he will also have a new House Speaker, a Republican. And I want that point to be driven home as we move to these next elections. I want you, every time someone starts talking about the elections coming up, don't let them focus just on Trump. Focus on the House and point out how Nancy Pelosi and her squad, not only including AOC, but all the other groups that come together on this umbrella they want to say is inclusive when it's really not, and they tried to wreck the economy further by keeping people out of work longer while we're facing a national crisis. And in fact, a few days ago, 5 days ago almost now, the Senate had their deal together. They were ready to go. They had almost a handshake agreement. And Nancy Pelosi said, I'm coming back to D.C. Don't anybody accept that yet, because I'm coming back in. I don't like it. I'm going to come up with my own deal, and I'll get members of Congress to go with me. Well, she didn't really get a lot of members of Congress to come back, because they're staying home. But then she drafted her own little package of 1,200 pages of what she wants. Most of it, gimme, gimme, gimmes. And then she shoved that in front of Senator Schumer, her counterpart in the Senate, and said, sell this to the Senate. Get rid of that other package. Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana, a Republican, has such a concise, candid, no BS way of describing things sometimes. I like him a lot. He's one of the few that I really like. They just say what they want. I mean, Trey Gowdy did that when he was in Congress. James Carville, I appreciate James Carville, you know, the Democrat strategist for Bill Clinton. He just kind of says what he wants in his own things. You know, and we're going to yank and talk in this thing. We ain't going to have no wacky, wacky doodle things. I like that. I like that being up front, straight with the people. So here came Senator John Kennedy talking about how Nancy Pelosi was trying to derail, did in fact derail, put a halt on the package that was going through rapidly the other day because it wasn't what she wanted. And she shoved her package into the face of Senator Chuckie Schumer and said, do my thing. Do me. And Senator John Kennedy said, you know, I thought previously in Congress we might have hit rock bottom with the Kavanaugh hearings. And then you have this prank from Nancy Pelosi. She said, I think we've hit rock bottom, and we started to dig. And then he had some very direct words for Senator Schumer and how he can't handle Nancy.
We had this deal practically put together. Speaker Pelosi flew in with her left of linen Bridge to Nowhere proposals, and Senator Schumer did not have the oranges to tell her to back off. And we were off to the races.
Schumer doesn't have the oranges. you know what he meant. Of course you know what he meant. I love it. I think if I were a member of the U.S. Senate right now, I might send a box of oranges over to Schumer and say, here's some oranges for you. Take them. Help you with vitamin C. Help you fight the virus. Maybe help you fight Pelosi. Yeah, I want to come back. I want to hear that bite again in a moment. But before I do, let me bring you up to speed on where we are as we are looking at the economic package, when it's going to roll out, when we're going to get it through Congress, but where we are actually with the virus itself. Now, the latest stats are showing us 440,000 worldwide cases. Worldwide. Confirmed. Out of that 440,000, 112,000 have recovered by either some medications they were given or just kind of gradually. I don't have an answer for all of them, but about a fourth of them recovered with some kind of treatment. And out of that 440,000, 20,000 deaths. That's still a big number. But that's not even 10%, not even 20% of the total cases reported at this point. That's worldwide. When you get to the U.S., we have had 55,000 confirmed cases. Total deaths, 785. Again, any death is one too many. But the money we're dumping at this and what we've been doing and shutting out on our nation comes down to a very, very small group affected and at danger. Yet at the same time, We've got to take these precautions. We have to. And the whole idea that the president said a 14-day self-quarantine, give us 14, 15 days and kind of stop in its tracks, kind of stop the spread a little bit. I'm sure it's working. I'm sure it is because the folks are slowly beginning to go back out and do some things. There's a restaurant across the street here from where the studio is, and they have people going in there. Some of the fast food places that no longer take folks inside, do it only drive-through only. But we're going to get past it. But once again, very quickly, Senator Kennedy. Senator Kennedy, one more time.
We had this deal practically put together. Speaker Pelosi flew in with her left of Lenin, bridge to nowhere proposals. And Senator Schumer did not have the oranges to tell her to back off. And we were off to the races.
Left of Lenin. And gave it to Schumer, and he couldn't tell her. He didn't have the oranges to tell her to back off. And so it's delayed this whole process. But we're getting there. Going to take a break. Pardon me. When we come back, I'm going to be joined by one of my sponsors for a very good reason. Because dealing with viruses like this, making sterile atmospheres, maintaining a sterile atmosphere, that's what they do. It might be good for you and your company. Please stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton sponsors this segment. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. I'll see you at Red Fitness Lounge. Get details at redfitnesslounge.com. Redfitnesslounge.com.
1, 2, 3, they're gonna run back to me. They always wanna come, but they never wanna leave.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
All right, before we have Tom Wellington join us on air in the next segment, I thought maybe we could run through a quick history of pandemics we've seen in the world. And, of course, a pandemic is an epidemic that goes wild. Epidemics normally inside a region, a country, inside non-really defined borders to some extent, but doesn't go just crazy. Pandemics, worldwide, global. And, of course, in the past, a lot of them happened, and we didn't even know what they were, how they spread, so we didn't know about containment. Then when we began to think maybe containment, breaking people away from each other, might help, and or then we still didn't have word and knowledge to get out to everyone, and we didn't have the acceleration of communication to tell folks what they should or should not be doing. We didn't have the drug advances. We also didn't have the ease of transportation, getting on a jet in Chicago and being in France within hours. There's a piece written together, and this was sent to me by Dave down at Vero Beach, Florida, one of our longtime listeners, pointing out that this was a piece published by the healthcare publication. The history of pandemics, going all the way back to the Antoine Plague, back in 165 A.D., I guess it is. 5 million dead. Then followed more behind that. Of course, the big one, Black Death, Bubonic Plague, 1347 to 1351, 200 million killed. That outbreak wiping out 30 to 50% of Europe's population. They say it took more than 200 years to recover the continent's population, 30 to 50% of the European population. Then you had smallpox killing another 560 million in 1920. Then you have the Spanish flu, as it's called. Although, as we noted in the previous segment, it's just given that name. They don't think it necessarily originated in Spain. 40 to 50 million. Again, when we've had infectious diseases in the past, sometimes we didn't know what we're dealing with. I mean, to some extent, folks are thinking it's a wrath of God. It's a wrath of the gods. It's a curse upon us. It's someone's pronounced. It's just who knows what, and we don't know what to do about it. We don't know how to protect someone else from it. Maybe, okay, we begin to quarantine, have boats tie up at dock for 40 days. That's the Italian word quarta, which came with the quarantine, to say the boat would be not able to move and sail until 40 days was up. We didn't know how fast things could be spread and in what manner, that measles, being one of the most highly contagious, that one person with measles can infect 12 to 18 others in an unvaccinated population. So we've been dealing with infectious diseases, obviously, since mankind began to get sick and pass it along to each other. This coronavirus has been something new for most of us, but for those in that field of infectious diseases, there's always something out there lurking you need to be aware of and how to deal with it. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Tom Wellington of Wellington Environmental. And they're already attacking some coronavirus cases inside this immediate area. I'll share that with you when we continue.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. And in full disclosure, my next guest is a very good friend for several years now and also a long-term sponsor of this program, Tom Wellington of Wellington Environmental. Thanks for being on board, Tom.
Hey, Larry. Thanks for having me.
And again, folks, you know, I have sponsors that I believe in, and I know they do a great job. And if they didn't think they did, or if I heard complaints and so forth about them, I wouldn't want them. I don't care how much money they'd give me. But I do it not only because I like Tom, he's a classy guy, but the business for 30-plus years knows what it's doing. And right now, of course, this concern about COVID-19 is increasing concerns about what Wellington Environmental does, and that's coming in doing remediation, sterilizing, taking care of a situation. Tom, there's news breaking that Schnucks has decided to install clear protective barriers at all of their checkout locations. The governor just asked a moment ago for, let me see, he was asking for a federal major disaster declaration form to deal with COVID-19. And that's at the government level. And they have, in fact, the Wainwright State Building downtown St. Louis, I think, they had a couple of patients, COVID patients, come out of their staff. Anytime you have someone that's infected that's in a work environment, I assume the concern rapidly increases.
Yeah, well, that's right. And actually, the protocol changes as well. The CDC protocol for when we have a COVID case includes deep cleaning. So, and as we've discussed before, we're performing both deep cleaning at facilities where we've had COVID cases or where we suspect there have been, and we're fogging other buildings that are just doing it as a preventative measure, mostly in common areas of the buildings. Now, last weekend, we had two buildings that we deep cleaned. We have another building tomorrow that we're deep cleaning. And I just left another facility that possibly has another COVID case. So, and it changes hour to hour right now.
I noticed you told me about you had a couple construction sites that you had to go on, and a construction site looks, I don't know if it's a fully open area or inside of a building, or what was that situation that they had workers exposed to COVID. How do you deal with that when it's a construction site and things are constantly changing around it?
Yeah, and that's something that's kind of unusual, but we had an interior renovation project at a office building. And one of the construction workers in that area had dinner with somebody that had COVID, and so they wanted to clean and disinfect that construction area. So that was one that we did. We have another one that we're doing right now that had a worker that also is suspected to have COVID. So we're cleaning that one right this minute. And I've had a couple other construction companies call and ask, well, what do I do in the event that we have a site where somebody comes back and they're sick? So it's changing rapidly, and it's every type of business you can imagine has been calling, from gas stations to high-rise buildings to very expensive retirement homes to anything you can imagine.
And even some very high-end individual homes, right?
Yes. In fact, we're working on one today. Yes.
I mean, if you've got a member of the family that has been confirmed as COVID-19 and they're told to stay at home, you got other members of the family in there. I mean, the separation at that point, I don't know how you achieve it unless you actually do preventative measures above and beyond just them staying in their room.
Yeah. Well, in each case, Larry, what we do is a risk assessment. So we go through with people that are familiar with who in the building has had it, and then we run through a protocol of risk to determine where that person may have been and who they may have been in contact with, because then it duplicates itself and it can triplicate itself and just keeps going. So we try to take a reasonable approach, but also have a risk assessment in place so that we don't end up in a lawsuit later that we didn't clean enough.
Well, and that's the other thing when you're dealing with businesses that have people coming and going. I noticed you were telling me about one building that wanted disinfecting, and you're still working on finding a way to do it, but they have some common areas. They don't want housekeepers in the building. Some of the doctors have their own office spaces in there. They want their units clean, but how can you do it? Do you have to shut everything down for a period of time or what?
Well, you know, that's a protocol that was put in place by the building, and what they were doing was eliminating housekeeping. They had a lot of different people coming in to do housekeeping, and they've said no. They've just made a decision that that's not going to happen. And then certain tenants complained and said, well, we're doctors and we need these places cleaned and disinfected. So, yes, we're involved in some of those cases. As I mentioned to you this morning, too, in an email, we've even had people, this is a little bit crazy.
Oh, this one, yeah, I'm glad you're coming to that. Yeah, I had it in front of me. Go ahead.
Well, last night we're cleaning a building and disinfecting, and their building company, they owned buildings all over, and they had purchased a whole bunch of what they thought was a disinfectant. Well, it was... when it was more of an enzyme cleaner for when a dog goes to the bathroom on your carpet than it was a disinfectant that was suitable for COVID.
So they're thinking, if I get rid of the urine smell, then maybe I've gotten rid of COVID-19 threats?
Well, you know, I think, unfortunately, when we have situations like this that come out, we have people that take advantage of people's ignorance and what they're buying and sell them things they don't need. And it's unfortunate. You know, we all hope this passes as quick as possible.
You, of course, have built Wellington Environmental over the last 30 years on constantly doing these kinds of things, including everything like from – and by the way, you're listening again, folks, to Tom Wellington of Wellington Environmental. We'll put up his website on my Facebook page after we finish this program on the podcast part. But you've been doing this for many years, but obviously none of us in recent history have seen anything this rampant, this concerned, where we are have basically shut our nation down – and put a lot of people out of work in the meantime while we try to decide how to deal with it in 14, 15 days, see if we'll be able to restart. I'm sure you've seen a lot of companies asking, what can I do to accelerate?
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, there aren't really any clear-cut answers yet until we have the algorithms on when this curve starts to flatten and they open things back up again. You know, we heard President Trump yesterday hoping that by Easter – and we hope that's true, but I think it was uplifting people. And whether they have to change it or not, you know, people are – the psychiatrists are probably doing great business right now because people are upset. And it certainly, you know, it's such a highly contagious thing. You know, we have some families in St. Louis that we don't even know where they got it from.
Well, that's the other issue, right? I had a family member and had to go to a surgery today for, you know, that had to be done. You couldn't really call it elective, but I was worried about them being in a hospital environment at that time because I've heard horror stories from you as to how some hospitals are so full of infections, even though they're doing the best they can, and they work in it in an infectious area on a constant basis.
Yeah, and each hospital that I go into now for work, everybody's protocol is a little bit different. You know, in one, I go there and you don't get in until you wash your hands. Another one you go to, you don't get in until your temperature is taken. And another one, they just welcome you. So it's a different protocol everywhere. And I know they're trying to take as many precautions as they can. But I think they've cut down on how many visitors are going in the hospitals as well.
And to that extent, I know you work with construction companies that are inside a hospital facility to make sure that their workers understand that if they're not careful what they're coming in and out of that area with, that they're going to leave something behind that could be deadly for someone.
Yeah, and that what we're talking about there can be something as simple as fungi. You know, Aspergillus species is terribly important to control, especially for our patients that have had invasive procedures or they're immunocompromised. So, yes, that's one of the focuses that we've always been at heart at is making sure the contractors understand that fungi and bacteria and now even viruses can attach to dust and travel to patients, and we can't let that happen.
One quick question. I assume businesses have been closed for a period of time. Now they're going to try to reopen. Maybe churches the same thing. What would be the advice for them? Can they just open the door and say, well, if it's been closed for 14, 15 days, it maybe the COVID-19 is gone or maybe not?
Well, the original data was that it would be gone after 3 days or it would be dead or non-viable. But then I just read that with the Japanese cruise ship the other day that the scientists that have been looking at that's the 700 cases that were on that ship in Japan, that they found it was living in there for 14 days.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would take extra precaution with reopening anything and make sure it's very clean before reopening and deep cleaning's taking place.
Tom, I want to thank you very much. I know you guys are overworked and stretched, but I do appreciate you taking time with us.
Oh, thank you, Larry. I appreciate it.
You bet. Tom Wellington of Wellington Environmental. I'm going to put their Facebook page up, a connection through Larry Connors USA Facebook, on the podcast when this program goes up on podcast here in a few minutes. He's doing a great job, and we wish him well.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I've got the month of May.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I read a report earlier for you that a new Gallup poll finds 60% of those surveyed believe that President Trump is doing a very good job in dealing with the coronavirus. And when you broke it down in independents, 60% of the independents believe he's doing a very good job, and about 27% of the Democrats. But if you try to praise this president, you need to be ready to be assaulted. Kirstie Alley, of course, the actress from Cheers and other sitcoms, took to Twitter to say, I want to thank you, Mr. President, for your decorum, your sincerity, and care towards us. You're taking charge, leading in a manner needed and wanted for this country. I highly commend you for your boundless energy and willingness to solve our problems. Thank you, Mr. President. That's Kirstie Alley. Immediately, here came the backlash. One of them writing, do another line or two, Kirstie. It might help you see how clear your thinking is. Another one saying, no more Kool-Aid for Kirstie. Then a comedian, John Melendez, I guess his name is, said, are you out of your mind? What press conferences are you watching? I watch the ones with the lies, misinformation, and jabs at Mitt Romney and others, basically saying that unless you're watching only the experts talk, you're getting false information. To that extent, that argument's been going around for a few days now by the leftists. And I've got some very dear friends that put up, why don't they get Trump off the air? Why don't we let just the doctors talk? You think they would have said that if Obama were president at this point, up there making remarks? Well, of course, first they're going to say, well, Obama wouldn't be making the remarks Trump does. Well, how do you know? But aside from that, it's, again, just the resist movement against Trump. And now comes this out of Seattle. The Seattle area NPR radio station deciding to no longer carry the daily press briefings if it features the president because they don't think he knows what he's talking about. Even though he has Dr. Fauci and others, doctors with him, the NPR station broadcasting across Seattle, KUOW, says we will not be airing the briefings live due to a pattern of false or misleading information that cannot be fact-checked in real time. And we've seen them continuously try to attack President Trump and pit Dr. Fauci of the Infectious Disease Institute against him. And we dealt with that in the preceding hour, but I want to circle back on it again. Because Dr. Fauci said all of this effort by the mainstream media, he didn't call them that, but that's what I'm calling it, that's out there trying to create discord and pit me against the president. The president listens to what I have to say. He's not overruled me on anything. But here are the words of Dr. Fauci.
That is really unfortunate. I would wish that that would stop because we have a much bigger problem here than trying to point out differences. They're really fundamentally at the core. When you look at things, there are not differences. The president has listened to what I have said and what the other people on the task force have said. When I've made recommendations, he's taken them. He's never countered or overridden me. The idea of just pitting one against the other is just not helpful. I wish that would stop and we'd look ahead at the challenge we have to pull together to get over this thing.
The words of Dr. Fauci. Well, they're not listening to you, doctor, because I guess they think now you're also giving false, misleading information. The response from the White House referenced the NPR broadcasting operation in Seattle, saying that you're no longer going to carry our daily conferences, our news briefings. The statement from the White House press secretary is, it's not surprising, but also a failure of their duty to the American people that some media outlets would choose to block their audiences from receiving accurate, up-to-date information on President Trump's whole-of-government approach to slowing the spread of COVID-19. No other administration has been as transparent and as accessible as this one. We will continue to make sure this nation hears from its leaders and top health experts during this global pandemic. That's the White House response to NPR. NPR, I'll remind you, all these stations that are NPR, they do get federal dollars. I'd like to get federal dollars from my program. What's the chances? Hey, you know, come to think of it, I might get with Nancy Pelosi. Hey, Nancy, before you sign off on this stimulus package. How about throwing some money to Larry Connors USA? Put me into that package. Oh, I don't know. I don't need a trillion. I don't need anything like that. I'll split my money with Quentin. So, Quentin, here's what we're going to do. When the check comes, I'm going to bring it to you, and you see it. I'll cash it, and you'll get half of what I get. Quentin says, that's okay, but he's not going to hold his breath. You're right about that, my friend. Again, I appreciate your listening. Please make sure your friends and neighbors know we're on the air. Thank you for supporting the sponsors. And if you missed the interview with my sponsor, Tom Wellington, a moment ago about how they're dealing with COVID-19 and protecting buildings around the area, it's going to be on the podcast in just moments, so you can share that with your friends and neighbors. As always, I appreciate you being there for us. You are the reason I'm here. And Quentin has to be here because I'm here. So we all appreciate it. Back tomorrow, same time, same station. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.